Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. Today, we're at the first part of Romans chapter 13. Let's have some coffee. We'll pray and we'll get into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. What a blessing it is that each day we get to come to you to get our daily bread, to hear from your word. Lord, we pray that you would instruct us today. Holy Spirit, please apply these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Here you go, Romans chapter 14, the first 13 verses. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems another all every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or to fall in our brother's way. Well, a really fun passage. We need to ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? Right, so what's this passage about? Well, you have Jews in the church, and you have Gentiles in the church. You have weak consciences and strong consciences. You have principles, opinions, and convictions. And so what happens with this? Well, there's a temptation that happens, that those people who have a stronger conscience could mock those people with a weaker conscience. And those people with a weaker conscience but have a strong conviction can actually become judgmental against those people they think are being lax. And so in this passage, Paul is saying, whoa, hold on. You got to realize that people are going to have different convictions and opinions and stuff like that, even in the church, about some pretty serious things. The first part about this is with meat. And we might think, well, hold on. Well, let me just tell you that there's quite a few people in the church today, if you go into the cities, that you're going to find some people who are vegetarians. They have moral convictions about that. They have strong opinions about that. Don't mock them. Okay, whatever. And people who love to eat bacon, leave them alone. But in the historical context here, I mean, this is a pretty serious thing. Some Roman people have a real problem, right? Hold on. I can't eat that meat, because I remember what it was like to go and sacrifice that meat at the temple of Apollo. They remembered what it was like for all the religious underpinnings of how that meat was actually provided into the market. And so in their consciences, they're like, you know what? It's better for me to be a vegetarian, because I don't want to eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And the Jewish people have a different conviction, right? They're like, well, I got a problem because that's not kosher, and I've never eaten unclean stuff like that. And so they're wrestling with this. And so they both have different convictions and different things going on here. And the Lord's saying, don't judge each other about this. Right? There's a theological word for this. It's called adiaphora, right? Things indifferent. Right? This is something that, do you wear a tie to church or do you not? It's adiaphora, right? It's a thing indifferent. If it's a conviction to you, do it. That's fine. Don't be judgmental and don't look down on people. Do it with thanksgiving unto the Lord, but don't be judging your brother about it. The next part is interesting when it talks about different days. And there's a commentary here I actually want to read to you because it's very helpful. I thought this got it with the heart of what's going on in this passage. This commentator says, Rome had numerous festivals, days, and omens, and every 8 or 9 days, regular market days. Romans knew that different peoples and cities in the empire had their own special festivals and holy days. Many Roman Gentiles, however, either specifically respected or detested the Jewish Sabbath. Those who detested it considered Jews lazy for taking a day off from work every week. Some Jewish groups divided from other Jewish groups over precise days on which to celebrate festivals, but all Jews agreed on the weekly Sabbath. Although the Sabbath was ordained from creation in Genesis chapter 2, before its incorporation in the law of Moses, it was difficult to observe for slaves and those who worked for others. Jews could honor the day within their communities, but many Gentile believers did not have the same opinions. And so you see there's tension even here between Gentiles and Jews, and this is the whole point of the book of Romans, is how do these two become one? And they're all justified under Christ. And so what do you do with this? I remember when I was living in Chicago, and there was a Christian guy, and he was a messianic Christian. He was Jewish his whole life, and in his backyard, I remember one time I walked out, there was a community garden, I walked out to our garden, and in his backyard, he had a booth set up. Why? Because he was celebrating the festival of booths. He'd always done that, ever since he was a kid. This was a religious holy day for him. Right? And it wasn't that he didn't believe that the sacrifices were finished or anything like this, but he needed to remember that he was a pilgrim on this earth. And so he still celebrated this. It was part of even his Christian faith. Now, I have no conviction about that. So, do I judge him for it? Or does he judge me because I'm not sleeping in a tent outside? No. Right? This is what it's getting at, is that there's even in Rome, the Gentiles had all these different special holidays and things that they would do, and Jewish people had their whole ceremonial stuff with different days that were important and special to them. And the question is, were they doing it unto God for Thanksgiving? Were they living and dying unto Christ? And here's the principle of the thing, right? All of us are going to stand before the judge, and the judge isn't me, and the judge isn't you. The judge isn't the Karen in the back pew of the church, right? No, hold on. It's Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ to whom, what does it say here in verse 11? As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And then this is what I have underlined. We'll just go to best verse here. What's the best verse? I have 12 and 13 underlined in my Bible. So then each of us shall give account to God for himself. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or to cause to fall in our brother's way. So what are you called to do? Have you been judgmental in your convictions, in your practices? Have you mocked other people because of something that they do, because they see it as pious? I'm not talking about making up idolatrous things and adding to the word. I'm saying somebody really struggles with something. You know, they do something that they think is unto the Lord. They do it with thanksgiving. It's a matter of adiaphora. This, what do you wear to church? Just wear clothes. Right, go with a fully convicted conscience. Go to thank God. Maybe for you, you got a conviction about eating meat. Maybe there's things, I know that there are many well-meaning Christians who have very strong convictions about things, especially when they first become Christians. And they can actually become judgmental on everybody who doesn't agree with their special conviction on this practice. if it's a thing of indifference, we need to let people go. We need to live not mocking them nor judgmental towards others. But do we love them? Because at the end of the day, I got to answer to Christ. You have to answer to Christ. So are you doing it out of a heart of thanksgiving? Are you doing it to build others up? Or are you putting stumbling blocks in people's way? If there's any stumbling block, it should be Christ. He's the only stumbling block. Let's not let it be our opinions or things of indifference. Don't worry about those things. This is especially true in the church. So many churches have gotten wrapped up and riled about stuff like this. You know, do we do the offering, you know, before the last song, or do we do it after the sermon, or do we do it earlier in the service? Do the deacons have to come up and do this or that? Should we even do offering? Should offering be in a box in the back or in the front? The biblical evidence, but hey, you know what? Hold on here. Should the carpet be, should it be red or should it be blue? Should the windows have stained glass in them? Again, I'm not saying that, I'm not going too far here. I'm not saying that you stop preaching the word and just let people stare at the glass. We're not going back to the Middle Ages. But, you know, do you put some color in the glass, or do you use frosted glass, or do you use clear glass? I can't tell you how many people will fight over this stuff. It's like, dude, hold on here. Are we missing the point? Do you know how many churches split and break up because of building projects? Because of things indifferent? Because people have strong opinions about stuff? Let's not put stumbling blocks in front of people. Let's do all things with a clear conscience. Living before Christ, knowing that our King's going to come back and judge. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Lord, we confess to you that we are strong, opinionated people. Lord, we want things our way. We often are snobs looking down at people when we disagree with them. And Father, we are often filled with judgmental spirits, thinking that our word is the last word, rather than recognizing that that other Christians are not our servants, but that we have one Lord and one Master, and you are that Lord. Father, we pray that you would teach us to walk in humility and in love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus Christ. May you enjoy him today. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.